Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. As the primary season ramps up and winds down at the same time, it's looking more and more likely that Secretary Hillary Clinton will be nominee for the Democratic Party in 2016. But that doesn't seem to faze Democrat Rocky De La Fuente. De La Fuente is running as a Democrat in this race, and he hasn't won a state or garnered much attention from the mainstream media. So how do you run for president in 2016? De La Fuente does have one thing, and that's cachet and money. The San Diego real estate tycoon and businessman has his name on a few ballots across the country, including coming up here in Illinois. De La Fuente is a first-generation Hispanic American, and he considers himself a conservative Democrat. Mr. De La Fuente, thanks for being here on The Download. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Justin, for having me.
Let me start this way, because you're a businessman, San Diego businessman, well-known in California, and you've been involved in politics before. You funded a lot of campaigns. Why run for president?
Let's say simple. I want to pay it forward. America has been very, very good to me, has been very good to my parents. We are very, very good. We do very, very well. And my five children are very well off. I'm very, very proud of them. But our generation lived better than our parents. I don't know if I can say that for you or for your kids. We have basically mortgaged our kids' future. Somebody has to change the direction of this country. Nobody knows in which direction we're going because the people at the helm, I don't care if the Democrats or the Republicans. The Republicans blame the Democrats and the Democrats blame the Republicans. But guess what happens? If you have a pothole in front of your house, you don't care who fixes it. You just want the pothole fixed. And I'm here to fix all the potholes.
Well, I mentioned you have a background in politics. Even though you made your money in business and real estate in San Diego, you have been involved in politics. You've funded a lot of campaigns. You've been a delegate for the Democratic Party in the past. Talk about what you know about politics and the way it works and how much experience you've had to get you ready to run for president.
Well, first of all, the United States is the biggest country in the world. You compete in the worldwide arena. You compete against China. You compete against the European Union. So it's no different than having a business. You compete in a worldwide arena. You need to be competitive. You need to know how to advertise. You need to know how to market. You need to know how to compete. You need to know how to bluff. You need to know how to negotiate.
So the same concept that we've been hearing on the Republican side with the businessman Donald Trump is the same concept that can a businessman run the government like a CEO as opposed
to? No question. I would agree to that statement, with exception that Mr. Trump would like to fire people.
Right.
Okay? Now, I believe everybody has everybody can be useful. When he fires them, I'm outside the door. And as he fires them, I hire them because everybody can do something good and something new for this country. You cannot just keep firing people and keep insulting people and get away with it.
You've got two front runners on the Democratic side who are running almost anti-business platforms. You have Senator Sanders who is saying, we don't want business, we don't want Wall Street, we don't want anything with business, including government. And you have Hillary Clinton who says, I'm a politician, I'm not a business person. Almost all of it is looking at the Republican side because that's really where they're looking at. For you, being in business and making your name and your fortune and everything in business, what's your response to the other people in your party that are vilifying it?
Well, first of all, you need to take a look at the bylaws of the Democratic Party or the bylaws of the Republican Party. They're almost identical. What has happened is through the years or the decades, the Republican Party has gone to the extreme right and the Democrats has gone into the extreme left. And right now, Mr. Trump's support is from the extreme right, 20%, solid. Mrs. Clinton's support is from the extreme left, 20%. What about the rest of us? What about the rest of America? What about the 60%? We never get to make a decision. Well, guess what? This time, the 60% is going to make the decision, and we'll allow some of that 20% extreme right or some of that 20% extreme left to join us.
You consider yourself being more representative of the 60% in the middle. You call yourself a conservative Democrat. What does that mean?
That's what I can call myself, but I also would like to call myself as a responsible Democrat.
Are you more responsible or conservative on social issues, or is it more with fiscal issues? What is it?
Both. For example, to be able to have a good country, you need to have a social net. You cannot abandon the homeless. You cannot abandon the people that they want to go to school. You cannot abandon them because if not, you will have social unrest. So you have to have a 10%, 15%, 20% social net. like Sanders, because you need to have those people. But if you can make him productive and you can make him, everybody would like to be productive. Nobody wants a handout. People would like to just be given the opportunity. So I am social as it relates to the 15% social net. Then what happens on the other end? I've been in sales all my life. I reward my salespeople and I pay them a commission. The more they work, the more they earn. The harder they work, the more they earn. And I don't want to penalize it because they're making money. We currently owe $19 trillion. 19. And that's not counting what's hidden in the closets. We have pensions that we do not know about. We have Social Security we do not know about. My estimate, it's $102 trillion. That's almost $500,000 per man, woman, and child in this country. What gave them the right to mortgage the future of our children?
Let me ask you this. This is a question, I mean, the more mainstream party Democrats, Secretary Clinton, even Bernie Sanders to an extent, Senator Sanders, have sidestepped really reacting or criticizing President Obama. What's your relationship to President Obama? And as running as a Democrat, how do you feel he did in his eight-year term?
Mr. Obama created a legacy. First African-American. He has come up with a lot of good ideas and a lot of good concepts. Some of them were supported by his party, some were not. But I'm not here to look at what he did or did not do. I'm not going to criticize what the Bush administration did before then. I'm not going to criticize what Nixon did. I'm here to, what do we need to do to go forward, folks? We got a lot of things to go forward. Let me give you an analogy. 1979, Carter went to Iran. And that created a series of events that created a huge nightmare in those countries. Iran, Iraq, how do you call it, Kurdistan, Syria. Okay, everything there is a mess. It started in 1979. That's 37 years ago. It's going to take me more than 37 days to fix it.
Yeah, right. Rocky De La Fuente is a Democrat running for president of the United States. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about what's not being talked about in the campaign because, you know, you've got your name on the ballot coming up here in Illinois. You are effectively running for the Democratic nomination. You have the card stacked against you because you don't have the name recognition or the support of the Democratic Party.
That's a plus.
That's a plus. But we'll talk about it. Let's talk about it.
That's a plus.
Rocky De La Fuente in studio with me tonight on The Download. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest tonight, Rocky De La Fuente. He's running for president of the United States. I don't have too many presidential candidates that come through here.
Well, hopefully this won't be the first or the last.
That's good.
Maybe next time I'll come as president.
Yeah, that's what you got. That's a promise, right? You'll come in. If you win the if you win the nomination, you got to come back on The Download.
Why don't I invite you to the White House?
Hey, all right. We could do a remote from the White House lawn.
There you go.
All right, let me ask you, you know, one of the issues that's come up on the Democratic side has been the party support. Senator Sanders has talked about how the DNC almost is against him. They're not playing fair. They're behind Secretary Clinton, and they're doing everything they can through caucuses, through primaries, through the support, money, all the stuff to make sure it's Secretary Clinton. From your vantage point as an outside candidate, but running for the Democratic nomination, where do you feel the DNC is at?
I agree 100% with Senator Sanders. I agree 100% with Governor O'Malley.
So you think it's unfair?
Oh, yeah. I believe that that lady should be basically, the other day I basically asked for her resignation. She's to represent the party. She's not representing the party. She's harming the party. She has basically created the less people to show up.
This is Wasserman Schultz, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. She basically is here to represent the party. She was campaign chair in 2008. Well, guess what? When you change from that responsibility to this responsibility, you have ethics, and I don't believe she has any.
And you feel like they have gone out of their way to make sure that people like you or Senator Sanders don't have a chance to upset Secretary Clinton.
Just take a look at when the debates are. They pick the ugliest dates at the worst possible hour so nobody will see. Take a look at what happened. Where's the good candidates? Where's Cuomo? Okay, where's Biden? Well, they were told that they would not get any support from the Democratic Party, so they told him to wait out. And they basically invited basically an independent from Vermont that if he gets elected would be the oldest elected president of the United States.
So even the candidates, the way the candidates were stacked against Secretary Clinton, you believe was rigged and unfair.
We'll take a look at what happened. The Republicans had 17, 18, 19 candidates on debates. There were three business people. There was an African-American. There was a woman. Take a look at that. That was really the big party. Now let's take a look at what happened on the other side, my party. We had the Brown and Black Caucus in Iowa. That was supposed to be Willie Wilson from Chicago. He wasn't invited. He's, I think, African-American, if I'm not mistaken. Of course he is. Okay. And I'm the Brown candidate. That forum was created so we would expose our issues. Dr. Wilson has qualified in more than five or six states.
You're saying they had that forum and it was just the main white candidates that were invited?
I only saw two white guys and a girl.
But let me ask you, because it's always a foregone conclusion that Black and Brown people are going to vote Democratic. That seems like that's what Hillary Clinton is counting on to win the nomination. You see how she's performed well in the South. For you as a first-generation Hispanic American, what is your take on the way that the candidates are courting the Latino vote?
Well, it's not only the Latino vote. It's the minority vote. It's the woman vote. It's the Filipino vote. It's a Hispanic vote because we have a lot of different types of Hispanics.
Yeah.
We have the Mexican-American. We have the people from Central America, Nicaragua, San Salvador, Panama, Costa Rica. We have also the ones from South America. The only ones who don't need any protection are the people from Argentina. Do you know why?
Why?
They have Pope Francis.
Right. That's pretty good, right?
He can protect them.
Right.
But of course, if you happen to be from Argentina and you're this country or you happen to be Democrats abroad, I won't protect everybody. I want to make sure that we run this country with our hearts and our brains.
All right. Do you feel that the Democratic Party is respecting that vote?
They don't care. They only have one objective and one objective only. Wasserman Schultz wants to elect Queen Hillary. And Queen Hillary can't wait to take the day of her coronation.
Let's make a transition to issues, because this is an area where, you know, when we have the Democratic debates, it's Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. I mean, they don't really
imagine it's boring.
So let's talk about, because the issues that have played out on the side of, you're starting to see Hillary Clinton spend more time talking about the middle class. You see Senator Sanders talking about finances and the financial world needing regulation because they're ruining the middle class. Those are the issues and seem to be coming up over and over and over when it comes to this year's Democratic crop.
Well, I believe they get older speeches written for them. And I think if the wind is blowing north, they go north. If the wind is blowing south, they go south. And imagine if the electricity goes out, they would not know what to say.
What do you say as a businessman, as a real estate tycoon? What do you say to the idea that Senator Sanders says it's the big banks, it's the financial industry that has ruined America?
He's 100% dead wrong. Okay, he needs to understand that we need to motivate people. Everybody's trying to blame. They're blaming the banks. They're blaming the financial institutions. They're blaming Social Security. They're blaming the Latinos. They're blaming everybody. Folks, let's not blame everybody. Let's roll up our sleeves and let's go to work. Now, how do we get it out of this mess? There's only one way and one way only. We need to generate jobs, jobs, and more jobs. We need to grow the country. Now, most small countries will grow at sometimes 5, 6, 7% gross national product. This is the biggest country in the world. For us to be able to make a dent at that $19 trillion plus all the other hidden liabilities, we're going to need to grow this company a minimum of 4 to 5% gross national product. Mm. Now, that takes vision. That takes savvy.
I like it. You said company instead of country. That's kind of an interesting slip up. But, I mean, it's interesting.
Well, guess what? Let me give you an example. When was the last time we had a World Fair? When was the last time we had the Olympics? When was the last time we had a World Cup? Folks, we need to be marketing. We need to market this country.
Let me ask you about some other issues that the Democrats have brought up and some stuff they haven't. Obviously, crime and, you know, obviously violence in neighborhoods has been a big issue. Police brutality has been an issue here in Chicago. It's playing out in the local election. We're going to see here coming up on the primary. When you see situations like in Ferguson, Missouri, or the case in Eric Garner in New York City, or even here with Laquan McDonald, as a presidential candidate, what's your take on where we're at with civilians and police and security?
You have a basket of apples. One bad apple spoils the rest. We have bad apples in government. We also have good apples. We have good apples in the police force, but we also have bad apples. And what we normally try to do is talk about the bad apples. We need to weed out the bad apples, and everybody knows who they are. Unfortunately, if you're a bad teacher, by the way, I love teachers. The majority, almost all of them, 99% are good teachers. But the one bad teacher, why doesn't he get fired? the one bad policeman. Why can nobody get fire him? The judges, federal judges, are appointed for life. 99.99% of the federal judges are very good judges. But I know a couple of them that, honest to God, I would not let him take care of my dog. Okay? And the question is, just like we were able to impeach President Nixon, the same thing is going to happen to Hillary for what she's doing in this campaign. And what Wasserman Schultz is doing, she's going to go to jail. And maybe she might have a cellmate.
Let me ask you this as we wrap up. What's success for you in this campaign?
This is a 50-mile race. Why 50? We have 50 states. Of course, we have the 6th territory. But let's leave this as, well, 56 miles for our public. 56 miles. Okay. Iowa, mile one. New Hampshire, mile two. Nevada, mile three. South Carolina, mile four. Folks, you do not win a marathon in the early stages. Yes, you might have some front runners. What's important is who crosses the finish line.
But you have a lot of, I mean, you see even in the, on the Democrat side, Mr. O'Malley, on the Republican side, Jeb Bush, governor, former Governor Bush. I mean, there have been people who have already said, this is unwinnable for me. I take my bow. Thank you very much. Okay. I tried to be president. What keeps you in the race?
Very simple. Mr. O'Malley was the third candidate, and he was not getting any traction. He was not getting any traction, even though he was allowed to basically participate in all the debates. I was not. Okay? And what did they do in Nevada? What did they do in Iowa? They took me out of the caucus. They took me 4 days before the caucus. They decided that I was a threat to the Democratic Party and to Queen Hillary. And they put me as other. Folks, I had qualified. I was there. How dare they tell me I become other? That's unfair to the American people.
Democratic candidate Rocky De La Fuente, he's on the ballot here in Illinois for March 15th.
And more than 40 others.
He's running for the nomination on the Democratic side. Mr. De La Fuente, thanks for talking with us tonight, and good luck with the campaign.
Justin, you're a gentleman and a scholar.